This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhart, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevrolet. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevrolet, and the two goalies go at it head to head, and Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon to Hall, looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen. Tarasenko in the clear. He scores!
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Monday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I guess we can officially call this the playoff, the start of the playoff edition of Blues NHL podcast. Happy to welcome back in the studio my good friend and yours, McHenry University Bearcat head coach, Gary Henson, fresh off a little vacation, a little work vacation. What's going on, bud?
Yeah, how you doing? Glad to be back.
Had an interesting little soiree, I guess, in Philly with some of your boys and an opportunity.
Yeah, our all-conference guys. There's ACHA holds an all-star tournament, and six of my guys were there, and they performed really well, and hopefully, a few of them will be chosen as All-Americans and get to tour Europe here next December. So pretty exciting time for us.
Well, it's an exciting time at McHenry University. It's also an exciting time in the Lou. I want to remind everybody, make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you can find the podcast. And, of course, subscribe. You'll receive a notification each time we put out the show. It's the easiest way to do it is through bluesnhlpodcast.com. You just simply click subscribe to the podcast. Lots going on with social media right now as the Blues are going to begin this playoff run here. At STL Blues Podcast is where you'll find us on Twitter. Don't forget to go to Facebook and just type in Blues NHL Podcast. And of course, thanks to everybody at lineupmedia.fm. They take your entertainment time seriously. They are changing the way you listen to what you want to listen to. You want to do it when, how, and why you want to do it. So make sure you check them out. lineupmedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast network on the planet. Well, we can't talk playoff hockey without welcoming in the real star of the show, and that's everybody's favorite. And I hope you guys caught him this weekend on Fox Sports Midwest. But welcome in our own Jamie Rivers. Jamie, you there?
Hey, boys, how are we doing today?
Well, we are rolling, as the man said. Wyatt, I am rolling. It is playoff time. I believe we've gotten the match that we want. Vladimir Sobotka is back in the fold. Scores a goal yesterday in what, you know, could only be a scripted type event at Scott Trade. Things are rolling, except for Paul Stastny. Things are rolling. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you really can't look at going into the playoffs in any better scenario than the Blues are as far as their wins and losses and how they've come together as a team since the Mike Yeo era began. They'd love to have Paul Stastny back in lineup, but a little birdie told me that he's doing better than people think, and that it's not as outside chance that we could see him in the Minnesota series. So obviously, if we can add Paul Stastny to the lineup, now that we do have newly reacquired Vladimir Sobotka, which is kind of crazy because that was like a deadline deal way past the deadline, and now we signed this guy. NHL rules are so wacky sometimes, but we had the luxury of adding one of the best all-around players, I think, that was available. So, yeah, things are looking pretty good right now for the Blues.
Well, I would have to say that it's been an interesting last few days. We went from, we had the clinching, and then we had the clinching of third place, and then obviously reintroducing Vladimir Sobotka to the St. Louis fans. What are you seeing now as we head into these playoffs with Sobotka in the fold that gives you reason to believe that we can take care of business in Minnesota?
Well, Vlade Sobotka does a lot of everything really well. And what I mean by that is he can play top six in your forwards. He can play power play. He can play bottom six with your forwards. He can be a checker. He can play center. He can play wing. He can kill penalties. He kind of is able to do it all, and he's a willing player, meaning that he's not afraid to get his nose dirty. He gets in front of the net, gets in the corners. He's excellent on faceoffs, really strong on his feet. He can be a pest. He can throw down if need be. Someone wants to mess around. He's not afraid to just turn and lay an ass-kicking on somebody. So, you know what? I really like this addition to the team because, you know, he has the speed, the ability, the skill, the know-how, but he's also got that grit factor that you guys know. Like, come on, I love the grit factor. I don't like, you know, the flat-out, like, Ogie Oglethorpe from Slapshot, but I love guys that play with grit and heart and determination and, like, block shots with their face and, you know, keep playing with their nose and the side of their face because they blocked it. Like, that's the stuff that champions are made of. And so Vlade Sobotka brings that little, like Panger said, little guy with gumption, right? And whatever gumption is, I'm not sure. But to me, it's a guy who plays with a passion for the game, who wants to win at all cost.
Well, you know, I always liked him when he was here. I understood why he left. We talked a little bit about, you know, the why. I mean, let's face it, when a player has an opportunity to basically use his skills and what he does to enhance his financial value, you know, they're going to do it. I mean, that's just it. Everybody would. I would. You know, you would. Everybody would. If a better podcast comes along and pays you better than we're paying you, you may jump ship, Jamie. I hope not, but you never know.
But the not if it's in Russia, that's for sure.
Well, but you know, but he obviously, it was a different situation for him being, you know, where he's from. So, you know, for me.
Yeah, but Chrome's, here's the deal. Hang on. Here's the deal. He's a Czech guy, okay? So, yeah, right. Everybody thinks, oh, it's just the same neighborhood. Not true. That'd be like saying New York City is the same as Mexico City. It's completely different. Well, you guys are, you know, close on the continent. It's not the same. And I played over there for a year. I got to live there, experience it. And I can tell you now exactly why Vladdy wanted to come back so desperately, why he wanted to come back after his first year and was denied for some mysterious contracting that popped up from his Russian team, which, let's be honest, there's really nothing. They just said, you're not leaving. And then last year here, this one that's went by after the World Cup, and we talked about a long time ago, he went back to Russia before coming to St. Louis because he said, oh, I'm coming to St. Louis. And I said to upper management at the Blues who will remain nameless, I said, if you guys let him go back to Russia for even 1 minute, he's not coming back. And they thought I was crazy, which some people do. But that being said, I knew once he got back there, they weren't letting him leave. Whether they had to sit there and personally babysit him, like you see in Rocky IV, where guys are following Rocky around with a car, he wasn't leaving Russia. No matter what addendum to the contract or changes that they say were added to it, there's no way Vladdy was coming back. So I think that what happened here is he fulfilled most of his contract or almost all of it. He had an out clause. And I believe between Vladdy probably leaving some money on the table and the Blues maybe quietly throwing some money towards the contract termination, they finally negotiated a way for him to get out of there. And I think that based on the opportunity he has here now, this was the perfect timing for him to get out of a little bit of a sticky situation over there and get back to a good situation over here that has a growing team under a new head coach. And you know, obviously the future looks bright over here.
Hey, just so you know, when you said maybe you were crazy, Gary and I both had our arms up in the air agreeing, just so you know. Well,
that's all right. Crazy,
no,
can be genius sometimes.
Crazy can be genius. Yeah, you know, and again, I thought it was great yesterday, obviously. You know, he's back in the lineup. He got a warm reception. You know, game really doesn't mean anything as we, you know, secured the third spot. But you know, nobody wants to lose the last game of the year. Thought the game was fine. He scores a big goal to tie it up, and then we get the game winner from Tarasenko. I thought the crowd, you know, it was a great moment for Vladdy, I felt like. You know, there were some things I read over the weekend, some people wondering how's he going to fit in the locker room. You know, I think he felt a little awkward in a couple of interviews. I think there were some questions about hey, there's guys that have been here all year. Now you're going to come in and take their spot. That's got to be an uncomfortable situation. But at the end of the day, this is the highest level, and talent plays.
Well, look, here at the end of the day, it's a crazy thing. The NHL is the best league in the world, and I had the good fortune of playing in the NHL off and on and all around for a long time. And the number one thing I can tell you is, yes, some guys might get their feelings a little hurt because, oh, I've been here all year. Well, then maybe you should have played better all year and done more, and we wouldn't be bringing this guy in. So that's the way I always looked at it. Like, do your job to the best of your ability. If you've done everything you can and they bring someone else in, they were going to anyways. So quit pouting and dragging your lip behind you in the dressing room. Nobody wants to see it. Now, if you sit there and you're like, oh, poor me, but you know you didn't do everything you could have, you didn't play as well as you could have, then that's on you. And that's your own damn fault. So the guys in that locker room, I can tell you right now, the majority of the room, the core of the room, they're happy to see him. They know he's a good hockey player. They know he's going to contribute. And what I liked about what he did yesterday is he didn't just go in the lineup and kind of tiptoe his way around. He got in there and got involved. And quite honestly, he could have had two, maybe three goals. He had some great chances early in the first period along with the goal he scored. So, you know, this is a guy who jumped at the moment and played well. There's guys that maybe played in that lineup that haven't had that many shots on goal in 3 months. So, you know what? That's on them. That's not on Vladdy. That's not on the rest of the team. Every guy's there to perform. If you can't do the job, they'll find somebody who can.
Do you think the goal or just getting the game in, do you think that was a big thing for him? I mean, did that really matter, or could Vladdy Sobotka just have showed up in the playoffs and been fine?
Well, I don't think the goal was, you know, the end-all be-all. I think that getting on the ice, creating opportunities, getting involved, being in front of the net, doing all the little things that Vladdy does well, including winning some big face-offs where, you know, he showcased his talents of tying up a stick, turning his body position, kicking the puck back to the defenseman, stuff that we desperately need. So, yeah, the goal was a bonus, but I think for Vladdy, he had to show that he was willing to engage in the game and do all these things that people have talked about in the newspaper or in media or whatever. He had to make sure he showcased what he brings to the table. And I think he did that. And whether he scored or not is nice, but it would have been irrelevant based on the rest of the game, the way he played.
Hey, Rivs, it's Gary. So as you know, I was on vacation, but got the notice that Vladdy signs. And so I immediately thought of you. I don't know why, but I immediately thought of you. But, you know, we get the tangible stuff that we can see from Sobotka. You know, just everything you mentioned. We don't have to rehash it, but just that grit player and all-around great player. One of the intangibles that I thought of when he signed was something that I know you're going to address, is the effect he will have on 49. Because you have compared 49 to him multiple times during the year and said Barbashev plays like Sobotka. You know, he's got that same kind of build and that same kind of tenacity and stuff. So I think one of the intangibles, and I think something exciting for the Blues, is Sobotka comes back and he's on the bench and he's on the ice with a guy that, you know, a young guy that you want to model that behavior, you know, or you see some of Sobotka in 49. So just kind of talk about that a little.
Well, that's huge. And, you know, Barbashev's in a great situation right now because he is so young and he's able to watch a guy that is a comparable to him and a guy that similar size, stature, everything that you talked about. And I can tell you from my own experience that it was a little late in my career, probably a little too late, unfortunately. But when I went to the Red Wings, I had the opportunity to play with Nick Lidstrom and Chris Chelios. Now, Chris Chelios had been one of my favorite players, God, since I can't even remember. And I just loved the way he played. And I got to watch him practice day in and day out and play night in and night out and pick up so many things from him. And just asking questions, just hearing him talk, or how he, you know, looked at the other team's game, how they were positioned, how he could beat that, how he would tell guys where to go. And Nick Lidstrom, I mean, I don't even have enough time in a day to talk about how great he was. And I learned so much from those guys. So if Mike Yeo and Steve Thomas are, you know, on the ball, which they are, they're going to say, hey, you know what? Watch what Lottie's doing here. Watch what he's doing on the faceoff. Watch what he's doing in the defensive zone. See how he fields the puck here. They're going to use that as a reference point. And I tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised to see them play on a line at times, because Sobey plays the wing very, very well. He can take faceoffs if need be. So you get two centermen on the ice in Barbashev and Sobotka. You know as well as anybody, Gary, that one of them is going to be cheating their ass off in the faceoff until they get thrown out. Right. And if they do, big deal, because they got a second guy there who can take the draw.
Exactly.
I think you're going to see a little bit of mix and match along the way. But certainly I think that having both of those guys in the lineup is a plus for them to just have them. And it's a huge plus for their development of Barbashev, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's such an intangible and so exciting for Blues fans. And I can't wait to see how it turns out.
Well,
It'll be fun, buddy.
Well, we got, I always look at the playoffs as like there's a lot of stuff going on, right? It's not just us. It's about all the other things going around. Now, obviously, we have to take care of our business. And I think we all feel confident that we can do this. I love your analogy of, hey, I love being on the road against Minnesota. We just got to go in there and win one of the first two, and then the pressure's on them, and we come home. So I love that. And in fact, you've got me completely on board with that. Now I look at the way the thing matched up, and I say, okay, Nashville's got to play Chicago. I love that too. I think that's awesome. I don't know, but these matchups, I think, kind of favor us if we can get it going. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, if you look at the matchups, any other combination is probably not as favorable for the Blues. I mean, we don't want to play the Blackhawks right away, and I'm sure they don't want to play the Blues. You know, it's just one of those things where you know it's going to be an ass kicker for a series. And then, you know, you don't want to necessarily play the Predators. We know that's a huge rivalry. It's become huge in the last handful of years. So we know that's going to be a tremendous amount of stress on the players being involved in that series. So who's left? The Minnesota Wild. And they have a very fast, up-tempo team. But I think that they've proven that they're beatable lately. I think that Devan Dubnyk has proven that he's not, you know, unbeatable with the puck, that he's not this guy who's a brick wall in front of the crease. I think Bruce Boudreau is going to feel the pressure of playoff performances of the past where they haven't been all that great. And going back to what you said just 2 seconds ago, is if they do lose one at home and they come back here to St. Louis and the pressure's on, how does that team, that coach, everybody involved, how do they react to that? How do they handle it? Can they battle through it? Have they been through enough adversity and come through on the other side? I don't know. But I do know that for me, the way it's set up to play the Minnesota Wild, to start on the road in their building and to have the opportunity to come back home for two, this is the best case scenario that we could have ever imagined for this team, especially since we had the mid-season relieving of the duties of Ken Hitchcock, where everybody thought, well, this is just going to be a wholesale. Now we're getting rid of everybody. We're going to start over and we're looking to next year. Well, things happened a little quicker than everybody thought. And we're actually in a good spot right now to not just win the first playoff series, but to be a contender, to come out of the division at least and head to the conference finals again.
Yeah, I was looking at, you know, when the playoffs were all set and they sent a thing out, I'm just looking at it going, man, look at these first round matchups. And I know some people out there like to do like a bracket, you know, like a March Madness bracket with hockey. And I'm just sitting here going, this could go so many different ways. Do you even want to handicap any of this? I mean, let's look at that Nashville-Chicago series, because it is a big series, in my opinion. I mean, are you completely confident that Chicago will handle their business against Nashville?
Yes, I am. I think that Nashville will put up a hell of a fight. I think that they may even surprise to the fact of getting it to a seventh game. But my prediction for that series is Chicago taking that in six. I just think that they're too good, too fast, too deep, too experienced to not advance past the Predators, no matter what the Predators decide to throw at them.
Man, that was confident.
That was confident.
I was going to say, Gary's like looking at me going, wow, that's confident.
They also have Jonathan Toews on that team, so...
Well, you got all those guys. Like, look at the Stanley Cup rings you have in that locker room that they've been able to retain with long-term contracts and build that entire team around since day one when Dale Tallon started the whole process. Right. So, you know, they've kept their major pieces in place, and they've always put a good support cast around them. But every year when it comes crunch time, those major pieces play a big factor in winning hockey games for them, including Coach Joel Quenneville, who's still behind that bench winning hockey games.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting series. But right now, I'm going to worry about what's going on in St. Louis and Minnesota. It'd be nice to get a first-round win out of this and just keep rolling. Again, I can't help but go back to all of us sitting around this room a couple of months ago or whatever it was, 2-3 months ago, going, man, this doesn't look good. And here we are. So, you know, I'll take my chances for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were pretty honest back when everything looked like hell for the Blues. I think that, you know, we recognized that there were some things that need to be changed, whether it was coaching, players, systems. I mean, I think we touched on all the above. And you know what? For whatever reason, Mike Yeo has been able to quickly change the mindset of this team. We saw immediate results. Went through a bit of a lull there for a bit. Maybe they had like 5 in a row or something, or 6 that they didn't win. But that was it. That was the only skid. And since then, they've continued to show that they're getting better and tighter and more efficient as a hockey team. So, you know, they've got good pieces in the mix right now. If Bortuzzo can get healthy, get back on the blue line, Stastny can somehow make a miraculous little recovery here and get into the series, would be great. Adding Sobotka. I mean, these are all bonuses that the Blues are going to get if they can continue to win and continue to keep this going as long as possible. But the current roster they have has proven that they can kind of do it night in and night out with whoever they plug in and out of the lineup. So I'm not underestimating them by any means.
Well, let's get to the softer side of Jamie and see if something made
soft
him...
Soft side of Jamie.
I think so. Let's see if we can do it. You've had to have seen the video of Brian Bickle getting the opportunity to shoot in the shootout last night between Carolina and Philadelphia, and he snipes the goal. It's obviously the last game he'll play in the NHL. I believe his wife and child were there, and you know, it was an exciting moment. Your thoughts on something like that for a guy to culminate his career?
Wow. Yeah, that's got to be... It's got to be a very, very strong feeling for Brian Bickle because, you know, I'm a guy who my career ended with an injury. I didn't get a chance to go out and play one more time or call it the little victory tour at the end. And I think that he probably thought he would never see another day in the NHL again after he was diagnosed with MS. I mean, let's be honest here. Most guys would have said, okay, well, I'm done. Time to move on. Time to get better. Time to take care of my family. And which he's done ultimately now because he's retiring. He's going to go on and do what he should be doing as a dad and hopefully living a normal life. But to get the chance to go back out there to play, to get the reception that he did in Carolina, then game day in Carolina, you know, the whole team shows up surprising him in support of a walk that they're doing for MS. Probably overwhelming for the guy. And then Bill Peters picks him to go first in the shootout where – Brian Bickle scored a lot of goals, but usually from about 3 feet in front of the net. Not so much a shootout specialist, but, man, he came in and looked like Vladdy Tarasenko. He ripped that thing about the top of the circles off the post and in, and the goalie didn't have a chance. So, you know, it's just a feel-good story. A great guy. Anybody you talk to, he was a warrior, consummate team player. So for him to be rewarded with one last special performance in front of his wife, his kid, whoever else may have been there, it's just a really great moment. It just shows you once again why hockey's one of the greatest things in the world.
Yeah, it's a lot of the you know, they played the Blues the night before or whatever, and they had the shootout, and they didn't use him. And a lot of people were like, it was a meaningless shootout. Why wouldn't they let the guy do it his last game at home? It's almost like they missed an opportunity, and somebody kind of said, hey, and they picked up on it, and lo and behold, it happens again. So it's kind of, I like the whole fate thing. I like that. You know, I'm a fate guy. I think it's great. And again, to your point, you know, he's had supportive teammates, supportive family. He's going to get to go do what he needs to do. And obviously he's had a nice career. So hats off to him. Hats off to you for joining us. I know this time of year things get really busy for you. A lot of people wanting your insight and thoughts on the Blues. And we appreciate you obviously being a part of the show each and every week. But on Mondays when you're a little busy, we appreciate these quick phone calls, Jamie. I appreciate it so much.
No problem. Before I go, Crumbs, I want to talk a little bit about the Joe Louis Arena.
Okay.
The big farewell to the Joe was last night, their last game ever, the Joe Louis Arena, and they're moving on to Little Caesars Arena next year that apparently is going to be, like, the most amazing thing anybody's ever seen, which I don't doubt. But, you know, I played on both sides of the fence in Joe Louis. I played for the Blues against the Red Wings in the heated part of the rivalry days, and, man, it was hell going in there and playing. The fans were on top of you. They, you know, threw their beers on you, threw food on you, and they called you wonderful things throughout the game. And it was one of the toughest plays. You almost go in there every single time you went in there and say, okay, so we lost this one. How do we bounce back next game? Because you knew you were losing the game at Joe Louis Arena. They had Hall of Famer after Hall of Famer and the fans in the arena. And then, you know, on the other side of it, I got a chance to play for the Red Wings. And you want to talk about a feeling coming out of that tunnel and this 19,000 people are, like, literally sitting on top of you. And let's be real here. They're Detroit hockey fans, right? So they're a little crazy to start with, let alone throwing gas on the fire that they go to a hockey game and they're allowed to act absolutely insane at that point. So it was just an amazing time for me. You know, watching the video yesterday, didn't bring a tear to my eye, but it really brought back a lot of memories. And, you know, the Joe Louis Arena was made of a family of people. The Ilitches, certainly the ownership of the team, but, man, the people that work in that building day in and day out and all the nooks and crannies of cleaning it and tickets and ushers and wives room and all this stuff, the attendants, Al Zabotka, the, you know, the Zamboni driver who's made himself famous by swinging an octopus over his head in the playoffs. So just, you know, it was a great moment to see that. A lot of the players got a chance to go back there. Steve Yzerman, certainly a big part of that. But just wanted to bring it up today and make sure that the Joe gets a proper farewell, even from the Blues side of things where we hated to go in there. But certainly you got to respect how great that city and that building have been for the Red Wings.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes we as Blues fans forget that guys like yourself didn't just play here your whole life, but we'll claim you. You can obviously, you make this your home, and you're a Blues guy through and through. So we'll let you have that today. But typically, we try to forget that you played for the Red Wings. I'm sure you understand.
Oh, I totally understand. But that's why I said, you know, I get both sides of it. But there's just like anything else in hockey, there's always respect and. No matter what the case is, it's like when you fight your best friend on the ice, you go for a cold beer after. It's just that respect factor.
Well, I hate to say this, but we respect you, your opinion, your thoughts, as you're the only one here that really knows what you're talking about. No, just kidding. Gary knows a lot, too. I'm the only one that doesn't know what I'm talking about. So great to have you, my friend, and I guess I'll see you in studio Thursday. We'll have a game under our belt, and we'll kind of see where we sit after one.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for having me.
That is Jamie Rivers. And again, I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot from him over the course of the next few days, different radio stations, you know, TV stations, whatever it may be. A lot of people curious his thoughts as we head into the playoffs, as they do for each and every game. But he'll be a busy guy coming up here. So we appreciate him taking a few minutes and joining us here this morning just to talk a little bit about the upcoming series and kind of as Blues fans get us ready to go. The other person who gets us ready to go for each and every home game and every game in between is the only one that I know that's completely awesome at being awesome, and that's who, Gary?
That would be Angela Sharp.
You there, Angela?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you today?
Good, how are you?
Well, it is playoff hockey, and we are ready to go. We just finished up with Jamie Rivers. He's got everybody excited about our series with Minnesota, but they are going to start on the road, so that'll put you in delay for a couple of games before you get to do what it is you do best, and that is get the fans ready for some playoff hockey. Talk to us a little bit about the end of season game. It's always interesting, that last game of the season at home. The crowd is kind of prepared, especially when it's, you know, they know it's not the last home game. But we get Vladimir Sobotka back. What was the fan reaction to Vladdy yesterday?
You know, they had a very positive, heavy reaction when he was announced. In the game, the fans cheered for him. And then, of course, when he got the goal, fans were super excited. And, of course, he made one of the three stars of the game. So, you know, he got another round of applause. Then I heard a lot of mixed reactions before he was announced. But once he was announced, you would have thought he was David Freese of our hockey team the way he was cheered for. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that it's anything like about him as a player. I think there was some issue with, like, you know, they've made this run. He hasn't been here. Now he's going to come in. Things have been going well. Who's going to sit? You know, a lot of those types of things. And if you talk to the guys like a Jamie, I mean, they're like, listen, best players are going to play. Doesn't matter. You know, this, we're in the business of winning. I think if we do win, things take care of themselves, obviously. I've kind of come on board with Jamie's thinking here that we definitely, the way things could have worked out in a myriad of ways, we definitely got the matchup I feel like we're comfortable with. I'm with Jamie, too, where I kind of like going on the road for the first two games because I feel like if we just get one of the two, either one, we come home, we can take care of business. What are your, what's your thoughts playoff-wise on that?
Well, I mean, you know, super exciting. I mean, I know that I've talked about this every time we talk about playoff hockey for all the past years, but there really is something electric about our fans and our building and the way our fans really show up, especially for playoff hockey. I mean, we have great fans anyway, and they're always cheering and they're always in the game, but there's something that just takes it up, you know, six more levels when you hit playoff hockey. You know, before those home games, we're going to have a pep rally outside before each of those home games that we have for the playoff game to kind of even more pump up fans with some live music and myself and Louie and Blucher out there, you know, throwing out T-shirts and giving out prizes and just trying to get the party started, you know, a little earlier than you normally would. But there's something just super electric is the best way I have to describe it. When you score a goal or when our team does something super great, you can really hear it. You know, the series we had last season, the first set with Chicago, of course, that amped it up a little bit more. But there is just something that when we score a goal and when you, you know, clinch that first round series, that you can almost feel the roof pop off that building. And that's the thing that I just love about playoff hockey. You never know what you're going to get. But our fans really do show up in many conversations that I've had with the guys over the past. You know, when you ask them in interviews and stuff, they can't. They feed off that energy. They feed off our fans. And they, you know, they do hear when the crowd is super into the game. So I think that really does get a little branded. And I know every team is probably, their fans are probably into it, but our fans really are just super loud. And I know that the guys feed off that.
Yeah, you know, every year when we do this, when we head into the playoffs, I know, you know, Gary and I both, we talked about this ad nauseum almost for years. Is this going to be the year? Is this going to be the year? Is this going to be the year? Last year was such an amazing run. And obviously you're down there and you're knee deep in it and feel the emotion. I mean, you know, we talk about this every year, but can you even imagine if we were to play in a Stanley Cup, the, you know, you talk about the roof blown off that place. Can you even imagine the fandom that would be going on down there?
I mean, you know what? I can't, because I'm sure it would be to the next level. And like you said, last year was such an awesome run. And our fans were just in it the whole time, which was just what we needed. I can't imagine being in a Stanley Cup final, because I know that the roof probably actually would blow off the building. And I mean, I kind of want to see that, but you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. You know, there's a lot of teams to get through before we get there. But like you said earlier, I do also think that this is the matchup that everybody was most comfortable with first. Let's bring it. Let's take them on.
Well, I know you're extremely busy. We were a little short on time today as we had some technical difficulties, but I appreciate you taking the few moments to join us. And obviously, I encourage everybody out there, if you're at the playoff game, I know things are a little more serious at the playoff games, but make sure you seek out our own Angela Sharp. Get your Sharp selfie. They're starting to pop up all over. Hey, I've seen you promoting the St. Louis Game Time magazine. That was awesome. It's a great read, is it not?
I mean, I've been reading that for a little while since I found them making fun of me when my very first year when I started. So I've been reading it since. It's a great read. It's you know, got a lot of hockey speak in it, if you will. So maybe don't let your kid read it, but it's a lot of fun. And I think those guys really know what they're talking about for the most part.
Well, I think it's great. You guys all that are involved in it on the day-to-day support one another and do that. So good for you, good for them, and good for the Blues. Remind everybody, Angela, where they can find you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just use my name. It's Angela Sharp. Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it. And seriously, even if you don't get tickets to the playoff game, you know, come out to those pregame pep rallies, hang out. You can still win a prize. You know, you can still feel some of the excitement down there. So come hang out with us.
Well, you're awesome at being awesome. I know you'll do a great job in the playoffs, and we should see you down at the Scott Trade Center. Take care, Angela.
Okay, thank you. See you guys.
That is our own Angela Sharp, our Blues correspondent, who does an awesome job down there interacting with fans, making them feel part of the game. I know we had a couple little hiccups there with her phone. We apologize for that. But I think you get the gist of it, Gary. She, you know, I think she brings up a lot of great things. The emotion that's going on down there, what's happening. The fan reaction of Vladimir Soboka I thought was interesting. At first, I was a little shocked at first. There seemed to be some people like, well, what are we going to do with him? Maybe a little butt hurt that he left, that thing going on. It's like, listen, I could care less.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know. I think the fans kind of felt like he chose a different path. And sometimes when fans choose something different than the Blues, they're going to get a little, you know, a little tweaked by it. But it didn't last long. You know, he got a good ovation later and obviously was productive in the game. So I think that's all that uneasiness is probably gone. And Vladdy Soboka is going to be real exciting for us in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time, like I said, you know, getting upset with a guy that's trying to, you know, I guess use his, you know, what he does for a living to enhance
his talents to help his life.
Like, yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, you do what you got to do. I think part of it may have been, well, it would have been fine if he was a free agent, but he still had a year on a contract, and he, you know, yeah. But you know,
It didn't last long.
Yeah, it is what it is.
You know, with the emotion side of it, though, I mean, I don't even know what I would think if they made it that far. Like,
they
were so close last year. You know, like Kathy said, are we going to have a big party, you know, if they, on the game clincher, you know, if they make it to the Stanley Cup?
Well, of course we are.
I said, no. She said, why? I said, because I have no idea how I'll react if they win it and get to go to the Cup. I might just fall on the floor in a fetal position and cry. I don't know.
Well, that would be...
Well, good. I'm telling you, man, we've never seen it. Like, that's...
No, you're right.
I have no idea what my emotions would be.
Well, and really, at the end of the day, too, when you look at the way the whole thing is set up, you know, we as fans are dying for it, right? I mean, we want it so bad. You know, last year was interesting, though. They made it to the semifinals, but the way it started, you just didn't feel like you were ever that close.
Yeah, San Jose ran, you know.
They ran us. If it would have been a 6-7, you know what I mean? It would have been like, okay, we're, you know, I can feel it building. It's nothing like, obviously, the year when they lost to Calgary, which it's been that long.
Yeah.
You know, so
right.
If they could, and like I said,
they lost to Detroit.
Yeah, that was another one. But, hey, listen, I've... You know, I've said it once, I'll say it again. If it happens in this town, it's going to be insane. And if the Chicago Cubs can win a World Series...
I was just going to say that.
The Blues can win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I know. There's, like, even more pressure now. Because the Cub fans all got to feel it, and we're still sitting here, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, man, it's going to happen at some juncture, but will it happen? I feel like some of those baseball fans just kind of, will it happen in my life?
I know. I've changed diet and everything, so I live longer.
You know how many people passed away in Chicago waiting for the Cubs to win a World Series?
Yeah, you know how many people passed away right after?
Yeah. People that just held on.
Right after they won, they just said, see you later.
Yeah, people just holding on. But, you know, and again, I look at this thing and I just think to myself, holy moly, you know, what are we doing? But we'll see. Like I said, I like it. Obviously, Stasny obviously had some things going on where I think we were hoping it was just a day-to-day thing. I think day-to-day turned into a week-to-week.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're going to replace him with somebody, I'm good with Soboka. Like I said, I get some of the fan stuff because some of the young guys have played well. And you start thinking, okay, well, who's going to come out? Are they going to take Barbashev out or are they going to take whoever out? But I hate to say this, but the guy that I mean, they were doing just fine with 12 in the press box, weren't they?
Well, yeah, they were. And let's face it, he's underachieved. I mean, that's tough to say. We want to be loyal to our team, but... You know, and at the end of the day, what have you done for us? And we'll see. You know, the young guys have produced.
You know what's interesting? Do you remember? I know I do. Remember when he first got here? It was like, holy cow, why wasn't this guy here sooner?
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And man, do you think the game just got too long for him?
I don't think he looks lost.
Like, just, I don't know, something. Something's wrong.
There's not. It just like there's no connectivity out on the ice. You know. I mean, he has moments where he looks you know, like the guy that we thought he'd be. And then there's a lot of moments where he's ineffective.
Who's that, Dennis Green? He is who we thought he is? Is that what it is? You know, again, I'm not going to throw everything on Yuri Laterra. Now, mind you, he can sit there and I'm fine with that too. But the times that they've had their issues on this team, it hasn't just been Yuri Laterra. So,
no.
But you've got to put the best, you know, you got to put your best forwards out there. You got to put your best D out there and you got to go. The benches get short in the playoffs sometimes. Although I'm curious how that will roll with our fourth line. Will the bench get short with our fourth line being what it is?
I don't think so. I think they bring an energy and a speed, and there's a defensive trust with Coach Yeo and that group. And I don't think you're going to see much of their minutes decline. I think the only time you may see their minutes decline is if the Blues, you know, get behind eight ball and they're down a couple goals and they need to, you know, throw a lot more offensive skilled guys out there, which that happens in the regular season as well. So in my opinion, I don't think Coach Yeo's philosophy changes much in regard to into the Brodziak line. In fact, I think, you know, you use them in the playoffs. They're big, they're fast, and they're going to wear you down. And I think they're a weapon for Coach Yeo.
Yeah, great goal by Upshaw the other night. I mean, that was not a fourth-line goal. I mean, that was something else. And they get chances, and they play hard, and they make life hell for the other team. So, you know, I could see them being a great weapon for us in the playoffs, especially because of how intense the play is. It's almost an every other night, although this is an interesting schedule. We have 2 days off between two games in this series, which I find completely odd.
Yeah, that's odd.
That's odd. There's nothing more. You know, that's the only thing that stinks is, like, the days off. And, you know, you got to wait. Now it's going to be 2 days between a playoff game. It's like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose it. But it is what it is, so we'll figure it out.
You know, they're high energy, like we said, and I think 75 is always, hit with him getting more ice time. It's more of a reminder to the other team that 75 is cruising around out there, and you might want to just, you know.
Might want to be careful.
Might want to be careful and not tick him off too much.
Well, you just had a great weekend with some of your guys from McKendree. I want to get to some of that because even though they may not consider themselves youth, they're youth to us. So as we get to our St. Louis Youth Report, I want to remind everybody that's brought to you by some of the great organizations here in St. Louis that are all pro hockey, all pro helping out with your family and your needs and things like that. So first off, of course, is Vincent Mortgage. You can chat live with a loan officer at vincentmortgage.com and get the information you need instantly. Visit vincentmortgage.com, click chat with a mortgage expert. Connect live and in real time to one of their professional loan officers. They can help you figure out the best way to reach your family's financial goals. If you want to buy a new house in 2017, you're going to need to call Vincent Mortgage. You can get pre-qualified in less than 5 minutes. You guys know the number, 314-839-9999, or just visit vincentmortgage.com. Great company, always so supportive, and like I said, very happy to have them a part of the show. And, of course, your friend, Scott Nelson, with Nelson Land Services. Great group, great family, great hockey family, friends of the show, friends of our co-hosts, of course. Trying to build their business here in St. Louis. They're so well established down at that lake area. But here in St. Louis, what they're asking is you can give them a call, 636-244-5651. What they'd really encourage you to do is just check out their website, nelsonlandservices.com. When you get on here, you're going to find a few things. Number one, 5-star locally rated landscaping company. All right, professional landscaping at reasonable cost. Nelson Land is the only name in landscaping you're going to need to know. When you get on here, you're going to see some amazing pictures of some of their phenomenal work. Awesome stuff. They just want to try to help you achieve whatever your family's goal is for your home. It could be anything from a big project to a small project. Nelson Land Services is where you want to go. Make sure you check them out. NelsonLandServices.com. Synergy Hockey as well. SynergyHockeySkills.com. You're going to want to check out Jamie as well. And, of course, our good friend here from McKendree University, Gary Henson, and everything going on over there at McKendree University. Again, another what I would call was kind of a hidden gem that's not so hidden anymore as they continue to grow here within the St. Louis area, but really all throughout the country. Nothing more evidenced by when we had some of our talks on here, and Gary's recruiting kids from all over the world, much less all over the country. So you guys and your hockey program had a great weekend. Tell us a little bit more about the weekend.
Yeah, so every conference at the D2 level, every conference sends their all-conference team to Philadelphia. This happens every other year. So McKendree was represented by six athletes, Ryan Sizer, Steven Sani, Levi Armstrong, Dominic Nass, Andrew Best, and Ty Watt. 5 Canadians, 1 American, and 1 from Switzerland. So you're right. We do recruit from all over the world. In fact, next year we'll be the D2 team will have be represented by 10 different countries. So we're pretty proud of that. But anyway, the guys went. They played 5 games. During those 5 games, they're evaluated. Of course, it's a tournament, so you're still trying to win a tournament championship. But yeah, during those 5 games, they're evaluated, and an All-American team is chosen, and that All-American team will go to Europe next December and tour. And I'm proud to say I had a couple proud coaching moments where people didn't. I wasn't behind the bench; I was in the stands, and you know, people said to me, "Man, that 5 unit right there, they look really good." And I got to say, "Well, they all play for me," so I was pretty. That was a pretty proud coaching moment. And McKendry was our guys were the leading point getters for our conference this year, and we're real proud of that. They played really well and played really really hard and took it very seriously, and we think 3 of them have a legit chance to make that All-American team. So we'll find that out in the next couple of weeks, and we're excited for them.
You know, you're a coach, of course, but you know it almost becomes a little family-esque when you get that going, I'd have to imagine. So you sit in the stands and you watch these kids out there, and you start feeling almost like a dad.
Oh, yeah.
And then you hear something like that, and it's good. And you, at some juncture, though, you got to sit there and go, "Man, that could have went the other way too." And that would, you know, then you get defensive. Yeah. And man, it's got to be hard because you know you try to be professional, you try to do all this, but when you guys are in the business of doing what you're doing, it's got to be hard to not be personally attached.
No, we are. I mean, and that's the way I coach. I want the guys. I don't want them to see me as like their best buddy. I don't think that's a good thing. But I want them to see me as a mentor and somebody they can lean on and they can come to with anything. But, actually what happened was one of the dads from Rutgers said, you know, that unit right there is just dominant. And I smiled and he said, one of them must be your son. And I said, no, actually all 5 of them play for me. I'm their head coach. And so, yeah, you're right. There is that personal component to it. And I did kind of have a coach/dad moment.
Yeah, I mean, you could have really looked at them and said, yep, all 5 of them. You know, you really could have, and that's the truth. But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And I know you've talked a little bit about your approach, and as you've grown as a coach over the years of all the things you've done, getting the players more involved makes them take some ownership. You hear a lot of that new age coaching. You know, it's not so much I'm going to talk down to you, I'm going to make you a part of this and make you a believer in the process. Because really, if you're part of it, you're probably going to, support it more, you're going to enforce it more, and you're going to be a part of it more. So, and again, I think, you know, we talk a little bit about the Blues, you know, in an interesting transition over, and Mike Yeo and his effect on this team. And, you know, as we look at this playoff series that's coming up, I don't really know if we have to look any further than basically his impact on this team and what he's meant to it as far as making it a legit playoff contender.
Yeah, I agree. I think he doesn't have that line in the sand, or however you want to call it, that red line where, you know, I'm coach, you're player, and it's going to be my way. I think that, you know, from the press conferences and the things I read and the quotes he has, it seems like, you know, he allows the players a lot of input there, and I think that's important. I think the buy-in is increased tremendously when you allow the athletes to talk about the systems or talk about the personality or whatever you want from the team and the objectives of the team. I think that's really important. And again, like just to piggyback what you said, the more they're involved in the decision-making process, not that they dictate to the coach what should or shouldn't be done, but where they understand that they can put in some input and the coach will take that, evaluate it, and then put forth what the coach thinks is best. I think the players respect that.
Yeah, the inmates can't run the asylum, but I don't know that you have, I mean, any team that would have that issue probably is in disarray anyway, you know, so
absolutely.
Why not make them part of it? Why not give them ownership?
Absolutely.
You know, the
absolutely.
Responsibility and ownership that comes with that at any level, and I mean any level. You can start with kids all the way up to grown-ass men.
I agree.
You know, it's
everybody's got to be on the same page and on the same objective, and it just seems, for me, I think it works best if we all have, you know, some input there. So,
well, you know, where our role is as fans in this always seems to, you know, start and stop from the beginning to the end, and what role we play as far as the success of the team. I know we all feel like, you know, they really need us.
They do need us.
They do need us. That's right. So one way to stay in tune with all that, of course, is our good friend Brad Lee and the St. Louis Game Time paper that they have out in front of Scott Trade. I had mentioned it earlier. It was great to see Angela out there reading hers when she was had a couple of minutes to I'm not going to say kill there, because it was obvious. Great work by the Game Time media to get a nice picture of Angela on there reading her paper. That would sell some papers, I would think, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So they do a good job over there. And again, I encourage everybody, if you are at all interested in what's really going on with St. Louis Blues hockey and the things going on behind the scenes, okay, if you are really want to know, not some of the Twitter talk, not some of this, if you want to know what real fans are thinking, make sure you check out St. Louis Game Time Report. It is an awesome read. You can get it out in front of all the home games. I just saw another thing. Make sure you check them out. You can subscribe, get it sent to you each day. You got a playoff special going on right now. Make sure you check them out. Brad Lee and the St. Louis Game Time Report each and every week here on Mondays at the Blues NHL Podcast. Let's hear from Brad now.
Hey there. This is Brad Lee with St. Louis Game Time coming at you on the Blues NHL Podcast. Thanks for the opportunity again. So I'm Brad with Game Time. If you don't know what we are, we're a lot of things, actually. We started out as a fan-run paper sold outside every Blues home game, continuing a 22-year tradition. There's been a paper sold outside literally every Blues home game since they opened the Scott Trade Center, I mean the Kiel Center, in January of 1995. So 22-year tradition. But we also have a website at St. Louis Game Time. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. We're all over the place. And also on KFNS 590 The Fan, Monday through Thursday, 5 to 7 a.m., Game Time AM with myself and Jeff Jones. And you can go back and podcast on InsideSTL.com. So the season's over, regular season's over, and now the fun part starts. Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. St. Louis time, which is not exactly a fun time. But, you know, apparently the NHL hates St. Louis and Minnesota anyway, so they get two of those 8:30 starts in the first couple games. And a 2 o'clock afternoon Easter start, which is fine, you know, whatever. I do think, you know, the other side of that coin is the NHL has gone out of their way to make sure that fans can watch playoff games and that they're not on at the same time. And that if they are overlapping someone, if one game bleeds into another, they're on separate channels. So you can catch the games you want to catch, and you can catch as much of the playoffs as possible, which, you know, everyone agrees is the best part of the season. So the Blues on Saturday at Carolina, they went to overtime. They captured a point after they'd also won in Florida on Thursday. They captured the third place in the Central Division, which meant they had guaranteed playing Minnesota in the first round, with Minnesota having home ice advantage. They finished the season 46 wins, 29 losses, 7 times they lost in overtime or the shootout. So if you add those up, 29 and 7, that's 36. So 46 and 36, 10 games over 500. I think the interesting number, and the number they need to look at also when talking about the Blues playing the Wild, is the goal differential. In the standings, the Blues have 235 goals for, 218 against, so plus 17. The Minnesota Wild scored 266 goals, so 31 more than the Blues, while allowing 208, 10 less than the Blues. Their goal differential is plus 58. Easily the best in the Western Conference. Almost even double Chicago's plus 31. So that's troublesome when you're talking about this playoff matchup coming up. But it also speaks to how easily they went through, say, the first 40 or 50 games of the season when they were easily the best team in the Western Conference. Then they falter and they win 4 games, I believe, in March. They did finish the season on a 4-game winning streak. Their last 10 games of the season, they had 5 wins, 3 losses, and 2 losses in overtime or the shootout, compared to 7-1-2 in the Blues last 10. So the Blues had something to play for. Minnesota, you know, they finished 3 points behind Chicago for first overall in the Western Conference, first overall in the division, home ice advantage until you know, obviously the Stanley Cup final, if you make it there, and if Washington makes it there, because Washington was the President's Trophy winner. So let's talk about this matchup with Minnesota for just a few minutes here while I have your attention, hopefully. So the secret, I think, the last couple seasons for the Blues' success has been depth and scoring. They haven't really relied on Vladimir Tarasenko's line to carry the water every single game. If he scores or his line scores, great, but they have still won games when his line has either been kept off the board or he's been kept off the board. That's been in part to other guys on the team chipping in, producing goals. And as you saw on that short road trip, you know, Ryan Reeves had two goals. Schwartz was creating. Saboka scored on Sunday, obviously on the same line. But, you know, they're creating goals and creating chances and creating pressure up and down the four forward lines. So that's been important. If you look at how the Minnesota Wild are constructed right now, they have a ton of depth at forward for scoring. In fact, they have five players who have more than 50 points on the season. Mikael Granlund, Eric Staal, Mikko Koivu, Nino Niederreiter, Charlie Coyle, all have over 50 goals, or 50 points, excuse me, 50 points on the season. If you look at their roster as far as goal scorers, there is an even dozen guys who are in double digits in goal scoring on this NHL season. Each of those numbers leads the NHL. Now, it doesn't mean that they're an offensive dynamo that's going to steamroll you, but what it does mean is pretty much every line is dangerous. The flip side of that, however, is that I don't think you can really point to one line on the Minnesota Wild that is a defensive shutdown line. You're going to see some matchups, obviously, with the last change in Minnesota the first two games. The Blues have to put their players out there. So say Tarasenko, Schwartz, and whoever's at center, we'll get to that in a second, whoever's at center, that line is out on the ice for a faceoff. Minnesota can decide, Bruce Boudreau can decide who comes out. He doesn't have a lot of good options as far as forwards to match up against the Blues forward line to try to be shut down and really focus on defense. He does have Ryan Suter, who can play half the game and still have gas in the tank at the end of the game. And I'm sure Tarasenko and Ryan Suter will be very well acquainted by the end of this playoff series for sure. So I think that's that's part of it. Then if you look at goaltending, obviously everyone's heard of Devan Dubnyk. He's huge. He's a very large man, but he's also been prone to being a little bit streaky. He still is going to be in the conversation for the Vezina Trophy. I don't think he's going to win it because, you know, like I said, they had four wins in March, and so his numbers kind of reflect that. But he did finish the season. He started 63 games. He had 40 wins, 19 losses, and then five overtime or shootout losses. So 63 games started, 65 games played overall is a pretty good number. You know, I remember back in the day, Grant Fuhr played 72, and that was a big deal. So you know, less than 10 from that. His goals against average was 2.25, which is, you know, really good. His save percentage, 92.3. So 92.3% of the shots he faced, he made saves on. Five shutouts. Played almost 3,800 minutes on the season. So really the workhorse. Large guy, fills the net. You got to get him moving side to side. That's the key with any large goaltender. Lateral movement, obviously, is a big issue. And once you get a guy moving side to side like a Ben Bishop, you know, Devan Dubnyk, you create holes, you create spaces that you can put the puck in if you can catch him moving. If he's set and is hugging the post and he goes down the butterfly, he fills up a ton of space in the net. So if you let him camp out in one spot and you keep the play to one side and you get shots on net from one side and you're not passing laterally across the ice, you're going to have a bad time. So the Blues really need to work on that lateral movement. In net for the Blues, obviously, is going to be Jake Allen. And, you know, there's been a couple times where some road games where Carter Hutton, the backup, had some great shutout wins and nearly a couple other shutout wins. He was right there with the league leaders in shutouts on the road, which is really cool and you know, is something that the Blues needed as a steadying force, especially when Jake Allen was struggling. There was a time before the Ken Hitchcock era ended where the Blues were last place in the NHL in save percentage, which obviously was not going to get you the playoffs and not going to put you in a position to maybe advance in the playoffs. So Jake Allen, his save percentage was below 90%. He played really well the last month of the season. He finished with 91.5% save percentage, 91.5, which also just happens to be his career average, 91.5. So, you know, maybe there is something to be said for the folks who say, you know, small sample size over the course of an entire season, players play to their average, to their mean, and just let the numbers sort out, because that's exactly what happened with Jake Allen. The question is, can he keep that high level of play that got him back to average over the last part of the season and continue that play into the postseason? Now, the biggest question I think the Blues have is, who is going to be on that line between Schwartz and Tarasenko? In a perfect world, it's Paul Stastny. Now, Jeremy Rutherford in the Post-Dispatch in a chat a couple weeks ago, actually, mentioned that he saw Stastny either in a walking boot or a cast and crutches in the Blues locker room. Now, he didn't put this in a tweet. He didn't put it in a story. It was just kind of an aside that said, oh, by the way, I saw him, and here's how he was limping around in this cast or boot, whatever you want to call it. Luke Horak, who works for NHL.com, who covers the Blues for NHL.com and also has stories that run on the Blues website, so he's, you know, an employee of the team and of the league, mentioned in a tweet on Sunday afternoon after the season ended against Colorado that Stastny was walking around no boot, no cast, no crutches, no limp. Now, granted, there is a long way between walking without a limp and being able to play postseason hockey in the NHL. But it leaves the door open. He might be able to be available midway through this playoff series. I don't think he's going to be available on Wednesday at 8:30 when they drop the puck in St. Paul. I mean 8:40, 8:45, whatever the NHL, whatever NBC decides. I don't think Paul Stastny is going to be available for that game or even the second game on Friday, which is at 7 o'clock St. Louis time. But maybe you get to the middle games in the series and you get to maybe next weekend, next Sunday. And then you look at the schedule after that. There's 2 days off between game four and game five. So they play Sunday and then they play Wednesday. And then there's two more games off between five and six. So if they can get this series to five games and they can get this series to six games, there's going to be a heck of a chance for Paul Stastny to be healthy and be out there. Because if you look at how they played it on Sunday, which is a game they didn't need to win, it was like an exhibition hockey game. They didn't need to win. They start the game with Ivan Barbashev on the line between Schwartz and Tarasenko. About a third, maybe half the way through the game, they switch him and Sobotka, who comes back and obviously is, you know, it's just like making a trade, which is what they always say when an injured guy comes back for the playoffs. So just like making a trade, they put Sobotka on the first line. He scores, and then about a minute 20 later, Tarasenko scores. Huge ovations. Fans are excited. I have no idea if he can continue this. He's more of a defensive, gritty, high-motor, try-hard kind of guy, which, you know, fans love for a good reason because, you know, they contribute things. And as Brian Sutter has said before, hard work is a skill in hockey, and that really sums up Vladimir Sobotka. So getting back to my point, you know, without Stastny, you're stuck with either trying to put Laterra back up there on the line with Tarasenko, which did not work very well. You could try to move Berglund up from his comfort spot on the second line, or you can put the rookie up there. Or maybe you put the guy who just returned from the KHL. Lots of weird options, maybe not the best options, especially going into the playoffs. So I think really the key for the Blues is Paul Stastny healthy and how fast can he get back in the lineup? And really that decision about who plays the center position on that one line really dictates how you build the rest of your roster on your other four lines. Your fourth line, which is the highest scoring fourth line in all the NHL, which is a big plus. But hopefully Mike Yeo, who at times when he sees a good shift out of the fourth line would play them earlier than expected, hopefully that doesn't happen in the playoffs because you need those top three lines to play more than the fourth line when goals are harder to come by, checking is much tighter, defense is tighter. The situation is you need the fourth line to give a spark, put some pressure in the offensive zone, be physical, but really pave the road for those first three lines to get a lot of ice time and get a lot of the offensive chances. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't think this will be a very quick series. I think the Blues will play the Wild tough. You know, since Mike Yeo took over, the Blues are 22-8-2. You know, winning three times as much in regulation as losing, that's tremendous. And yeah, that will translate over to the postseason. But Minnesota had a really good year for the most part. They stumbled down the stretch. They got it together the last four games. Most of their troubles are not behind them. And defensively, it'll be interesting to see how they match up with the Blues and what they try to do. So hopefully this time next Monday, the next time I record for you guys, we'll have more games to talk about and more games coming up. And we'll see. You know, I think the bottom line for the Blues is the team that we saw the last month when they were playing non-playoff game after non-playoff opponent after non-playoff opponent. Are we seeing that type of Blues team, or are we seeing the inconsistent Blues team when they were playing quality competition during the first half of the season? Is that the Blues team we have? I hope it's the one we've seen over the last month. I hope that 22-8-2 is the real number. I guess we'll find out. That's why they play the games. So thanks for listening. I'm Brad with Game Time. You can find us at St. Louis Game Time on Twitter, stlouisgametime.com. You can find us outside the playoff games next Sunday, 2 o'clock. Look for us outside the garage, outside the 14th Street doors in the northeast corner of 14th and Clark. Appreciate the opportunity. Let's go Blues. And I guess back to you guys. Thanks.
Always good. Always good. Great takes, as usual. And like I said, numerous articles within the paper that I think you'll find interesting. And the best part of it is I don't even know that you have to – well, we shouldn't. We're never going to either, but you don't have to agree with all of it either for it to be a great read.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you agree with everything, it kind of gets stale. You know, I think discussion and different viewpoints are good with anything. I mean, look at us. We argue all the time.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, but, you know.
Maybe a lot.
Yeah, it's because you think you know something.
Well, I do know something.
Yeah.
What do you know?
I don't know what I know.
No, you don't know anything. So anyway, listen. Hey, it's playoff hockey time in St. Louis. I'll be curious to see. We'll have that first game. I completely forgot to ask Jamie if he thinks that, you know, they've proven Kimball wrong. Because, you know, Kimball was half full. I don't know. And I guarantee you, it was to be like, well, let's see how it goes here. Let's not count our chickens before they're hatched.
Kimby's half empty all the time.
Oh my goodness gracious!
All the time, that guy. He's got good intentions, though. Obviously, I want to watch the playoff hockey because it's great. But again, I want to see that Barbashev Sobotka component. I want to see what that looks like. I think Jamie's hit it right on the head with that.
Could be a pain in the ass for the Minnesota Wild, that's
Man,
for sure.
I wouldn't want to play it.
Well, let's see how it goes. Like I said, we got our first game Wednesday night when we convene back here on Thursday, and you can join us if you're not busy and want to get some talk in. Make sure you feel free to do so.
I'll just come in and look at Kimball's head.
Yeah. Oh my God, you guys. Hey. Listen, I'm going to have to put dividers up between him and Jamie and now him and you. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll just turtle.
Oh, yeah. Well, it might be a good idea. Hey, really appreciate you guys joining us as we do each and every episode. And as the playoffs come in, you know, things are going to get really intense here. And that's what we're hoping for is a great series that, you know, culminate with the Blues coming out on top. I'd love to see us get the opportunity to move on. And you never know. Maybe, we looked at last year and we talked about the momentum from making it to a semifinal last year. And it felt like we lost some of that. Heck, who knows? Playoff hockey, anything can happen. Maybe we'll keep building off of that momentum and build something here. Nice young talent. Got some guys that can play. Who knows what happened? Jake Allen. Listen, he's the key. I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but I think Jake Allen's a key.
No, yeah. He was the key when they started this series or this season. Like, they were going to ride Jake Allen. That was the how the Blues were going to win. So it's going to be that way in the playoffs.
We shall see. Appreciate you guys joining us as we do each and every week. We want to remind you one last time to make sure you check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Check us out on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. Go to Facebook and just type in Blues NHL Podcast. You'll find us there as well. Obviously, special thanks go out to lineupmedia.fm, the fastest-growing podcast network on the planet. And, of course, our producer, Brian, who keeps the show rolling and puts it all together once we get done with all the mistakes we make while we're on the air. He does a great job of making sure that we sound like we have an idea what we're doing. So special thanks to him as well. For Blues NHL Podcast, I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. We will see you guys on Thursday. Let's go, Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.